reading you loud and clear. The clock has started.
Five, four, three, two, one.
Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Tuned in to this week's episode of our podcast. Today, we are going to interview some of the greatest and most influential minds in our field. By sharing our collective expertise, we will show you how to harness, control, and use your own skill set to achieve ultimate success and live the life you want. And now, please welcome your host.
Welcome to this week's Smallest Cast podcast. This podcast is designed for small government contractors, service providers, and manufacturers as part of the government contractor ecosystem, connecting people, organizations, and resources. I'm your host, Just Nate, and this week, I am very excited to say we are recording our episode with our very first sponsor, Puebloplex. And here from Puebloplex, we've got Chris Bolt, the Director of Operations, and we've got Laura Heberle, the Communication Specialist. Welcome, guys.
Thanks, Nate, for having us.
Excited to be here.
So, okay. So you guys work for a place called Puebloplex, not exactly a typical small business, I guess. So Chris, why don't you start us off and kind of just give us a little overview of what Puebloplex is?
Sure. So first I'd like to say we're located east of the Pueblo Airport, about 10 miles on the Pueblo Chemical Depot. And so there's three entities out there at the Pueblo Chemical Depot. You got the Pueblo Chemical Depot team. You have the PCAP operations, which is the Pueblo Chemical Agent Destruction Pilot Program folks who are destroying the chemical munitions. And then you have us, Puebloplex. So we've been out there for about 25 years now. And what we're responsible for is redeveloping the Pueblo Chemical Depot once their mission is complete.
Okay, so, right, so tell us what the mission is out there. A lot of people don't understand. A lot of people don't know that the chemical depot is here. So kind of let's walk people through what the chemical depot is, if one of you guys can do that.
Sure, I could speak to that and talk a little bit about the history. So in the 40s, if you go way back, 1942 was when the U.S. Army Pueblo Chemical Depot was established. And that was in to support the World War II efforts. So a little bit more history. In the 50s, that's when it was kind of the heyday of the depot, and there were nearly 8,000 workers out there. So a very bustling place, and that's definitely part of our mission, is to replace some of that job loss that's occurred over the decades in our community. So again, with that kind of workforce out there, about every 2 out of 5 Puebloans worked at the Pueblo Chemical Depot. So it's got a very big connection to our community. Our community is very invested in the property and its future. So then in 88, the depot was realigned by Congress. And that was pursuant to the Base Realignment and Closure Act. And we call that BRAC. And then fast forward to 94, and the Colorado legislature created the Pueblo Depot Activity Development Authority, AKA Puebloplex, and that's when we came into being.
So you said 84?
94.
94, okay. So 1994, and then when did it turn into getting rid of all the mustard agent and gases and stuff? When did that contract first start?
So that's been part of their mission towards the end since, I want to say, 1988 when they stored them. Then they had to find a process to do that. Don't want to get too much involved with that discussion, but I think they finally got their selected way method to destroy those in, I want to say, 2012-13 timeframe. And that's what the PCAP facility is doing, the Pueblo Chemical Agent Destruction Pilot Program is doing right now.
Okay. So you can definitely tell it's some type of DOD thing because they have acronyms, and sometimes those acronyms don't make sense. Yeah. And I've got a little bit of history myself. I've been in Pueblo for many years living here. And I actually went to go, I did an interview before they very first, actually they were breaking ground. So I did an interview out there as a senior engineer. They wanted me to finish the design of the entire electrical, everything electrical in all their facilities.
Yeah.
My response was, well, where's the team? And they're like, well, we're hiring as one person. Like, okay. So it was very interesting. But I was able to find out a little bit. So I have been to Chemical Depot itself. At that time, it was a pretty much a blank field. So that was quite a few years ago, back in 2006-ish, I want to say, when they very first started, or 2000, maybe even earlier than that.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Too sure on the background on that.
Yeah.
Sure, yeah.
So, so the idea is all those new facilities, right, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but all those facilities that as they're finishing with the process of getting rid of all that material out there, their facilities are coming open. You guys are there to repurpose those, correct?
So we're there to repurpose that. So we'll, the chemical depot itself is 23,000 total acres. And the parcel that the PCAP facility is on non-surplus property. So we're looking to transfer the first parcels of property, which are on the 16,000 surplus acres.
Okay.
So that'll hopefully happen within the next couple of years. We'll get our first parcel of land, about 5,000 acres here. We're working diligently with the Public Chemical Depot team, the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment, and the BRAC office to get that transferred.
Okay. So, because I know when I was out there, last time I was out there, they had bunkers, right? Or I don't know what they're really called, but pillboxes where they store the munitions.
Storage igloos is what we refer to them as.
Yeah. Storage igloos, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just want to make sure I get my vernacular correct here.
Sure.
So the facilities you guys currently have, those are not what you guys are trying to repurpose right now, right? The igloos?
So we are. We are repurposing them. In their natural state, they're either a 4x8 door, constructed with a 4x8 steel door, or 8x8 doors. So what we've done probably within the last decade is decided to cut 10x10 garage doors into the 4x8 door space. So now folks can go out there and load their boats, recreational vehicles, their personal classic cars out there. So it provides a little bit easier access at that point.
Okay, so is this on... Is that part that's being repurposed right now, is that still on DOD property?
So the property still belongs to DOD. It won't turn over to us until we negotiate a deal with the Army. So it's all DOD property, and we're able to lease these through a master lease with the Corps of Engineers with the Army.
Okay, so I as a single or as a person could go out and rent one of these places for my company, or...
Absolutely. You could join about the 500 other folks that have a lease out there with us.
And as well as an extensive wait list. So that's something, you know, we've been fortunate, especially with the addition of the 10x10. It just made it much more accessible and of interest to storage tenants. And but we have personal, we have business tenants, we have government agencies that store filing and files out there that they have to retain for record retention requirements. There's a variety of things that people are able to store out there. And once those filled up, we filled those up in 2018. And again, Chris spoke to about 500 tenants that we have out there. We do have a fairly extensive wait list because there is a lot of interest.
So do you have to get into your, let's say I rent one of these things when some more come available, how do I access it? Do I have to go, is it just like I'm going on Peterson or Schriever Air Force Base where I got to show a CAT card or something like that?
Yes, all those security precautions apply there as any DOD installation. So you'll get a background check, and anybody that you bring on will get a background check before you get a badge.
Okay, is it 24/7 access?
So our igloo storage, we have the tenants out there 7 days a week, daylight hours.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Well, that keeps down on some of the riffraff too, I guess,
if
you only can show up during day hours. So
sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, cool. So one of the reasons why we originally talked with you guys, obviously we've got we're developing this relationship between Pueblo Plex, the Smalls, Water Tower Place down in Pueblo, Matter of fact, that's where actually we're recording today, is Water Tower Place. We, from the smallest perspective, we're really trying to bring, reach into our aerospace and DoD community and bring them south down here to Pueblo. A lot of people don't realize what's all down here in Pueblo. A lot of people don't know that, hey, I could probably pick up property a lot quicker and cheaper at Puebloplex than I can in Boulder or downtown Denver, right, as an aerospace company or DoD company.
Absolutely.
So that's why we wanted to get you guys out here to kind of walk us through that process. What does it take to, you said there's a waiting list right now.
Sure. So for our storage tenants.
Okay. Right.
And, you know, there is a process that we go through to get people in place. But then we also have, of course, our warehouses and storage buildings that we can bring in different types of tenants.
Okay, so it's just the igloos at waiting list right now.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, so you guys still have, if a company came in and says, I have $100 million to spend, I have to spend by September, because that's the new year.
Well, that's good, spend it. we do have our warehouse is available. Warehouses are available. Matter of fact, we have an aerospace tenant there that's been there for many years. And we also have a site where you can do static testing, if you will. So we're excited to have that. It provides those aerospace folks some anonymity out there, if you will. You're out there in the middle of about 500 acres. So you can do what you need to do out there without bothering anybody. So we're excited. And, you know, we do have probably about 300,000 square feet of warehouse space available at this time. So we're looking forward to support any aerospace company or, you know, any overflow from the Space Force as they come in as well.
And that's huge, right? I don't know if you guys have been following that or not. That's kind of the field that I work in. And space is, I've been space for 19 years now, DOD side. But you guys probably heard United States Space, US Space Com is just awarded to Colorado for the first 6 years, right? So correct. US Space Force was, is going to be headquartered out of Washington, DC. So that doesn't really affect us here other than below them, they will have, different deltas set up, what they're going to be calling deltas. And that's where locations. And U.S. Space Com, like I said, was just released here for the next for the first 6 years. So that's huge for the economy.
Absolutely.
So you're going to see a big push there. So let me ask you, do you guys have rail access as well out there?
Oh, absolutely. We have over 40 miles of rail access. And that's probably going to be our driving force once we own the property is our rail. There's no access like we have between Denver and Albuquerque, New Mexico. So we sit in the Highway 50 corridor and I-25. So we got that sweet spot that everybody's looking for.
And serviced by both Union Pacific and BNSF.
So I know Jeff Bezos listens to this podcast. So Jeff, when you're out there, you know, I know you're building a 4 million square foot facility right up here in Colorado Springs, but for overflow, I'm sure you guys could help him out, right?
Send them our way. Come on, Jeff.
Well, so Elon, when you're out there having coffee with your buddy Jeff, you know, go ahead and send them our way here. So
absolutely. And Elon, he could build his battery place out there as well.
I Facebook, so obviously I'm a tech geek and nerd. You can see all the wires I have around me here. But so my Facebook feed, whenever I look at it, it's all these engineering feeds. And one of them is Elon Musk's new facility in Germany. And it is phenomenal. It's sparkly and very, very expensive. So,
oh, absolutely. Well, I think he's moving to Austin as well, if I read correctly.
Yes, he will be leaving the great state of California and moving his business to where he has other interests as well. So,
sure.
It's a good thing. So, talk to me, Laura. Tell me what you've been focusing on out there then, from your perspective.
Sure. So, I do a lot of communications work. Again, the techie nerdy stuff, you know, IT directing our local office and, you know, working to keep our social media channels going, website active and updated, those types of things. But then, of course, the title doesn't fit all of the things that we do. So we're a very small team. So a lot of other things, I do manage the storage igloo leasing process. I really enjoy it. I like to get out in the field and we've got a variety of wildlife, so I enjoy just being on the property, it's such a peaceful space. And that's just what, I don't know, one of the exciting things about working out there. I love the diversity of the work. It fits right in with my kind of administrative and those kind of things that I like to do, get in an Excel spreadsheet, those kind of boring things, but then really enjoy being able to work with people and build the community. And recently with, just being more involved in economic development, that kind of just sparks even more interest in continuing and working with the project.
That is awesome. So, you said a lot there. I want to unpack it. But before we do that, we're going to take a quick break here. Pueblo Plex is located east of the Pueblo Airport Industrial Park. As a designated state authority, Pueblo Plex is responsible for implementing the reuse of the Pueblo Chemical Depot's 3 million square feet of buildings and over 23,000 acres of land. Implementations of the redevelopment plan include seeking companies to continue to generate economic development within southeastern Colorado. Pueblo Plex currently has tenants conducting manufacturing, warehousing, and distribution operations, and railcar storage and maintenance, in addition to serving numerous business and personal storage tenants. For a detailed look and updated information, visit puebloplex.com. Welcome back to the Smallest Pass Cop podcast. This week we have Pueblo Plex with us. We've got Mr. Chris Bolt and Mrs. Laura Heberly. So welcome back, guys. Before break, we were in the middle of talking with Laura. Laura, you do a lot of the social media, the website stuff. So I mentioned we wanted to unpack some of that. So what I want to unpack is, tell me, what's your website? How do people get a hold of Pueblo Plex?
Absolutely. Yeah, puebloplex.com, very simply. And there's a lot of space in there that you can explore and see the vast things that we do, the industries that we serve, even as far as, our staffing and our structure with our board of directors, because we do have a board of directors that govern Pueblo Plex.
So is Pueblo Plex a nonprofit then, or?
No, so with the state establishing us through the legislature, they created us as a political subdivision of the state. So similar to a school district.
Okay. School district or probably Colorado PTAC as well, kind of subtype thing. You guys get funding from the state as well?
When they declared the surplus property federally, then that allowed us access to the Department of Defense Office of Economic Adjustment funding, those grant funds, and those have supported our redevelopment planning process.
Okay, so is Pueblo Plex themselves, and I'll let either one of you guys answer this, are you guys going to be in charge of redeveloping once that gets turned over to you? Does it still stay federal property? How is that going to work?
So we will be the single point of entry for any developer to come in and redevelop the Pueblo Chemical Depot.
Okay,
so they will come through us. And as the property is transferred to Pueblo Plex, it will fall within the Pueblo County footprint.
Okay.
So it'll be state county property.
And then you guys, is the idea to rent that out, lease it out, or just sell it?
So we're open to about anything.
All of the above.
Okay.
We'll see what opportunities present themselves.
Well, no, and to me that's very important, right? Because, once again, our listenership is that small business, right? So if you're a small business, you have options, right? You don't have to come out here and put cash down to buy it. You guys might be able to offer them a lease for 5 years or whatever their new contract that they just won is, right?
Correct.
Absolutely.
Okay. I think that's awesome because that gives people options.
Right.
Because I know a lot of companies don't like to own properties, right? They'll spend double just to lease something so they don't have to own it and then deal with it later.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So we're able to lease out property now and buildings as well because we just added approximately 500 acres to our master lease. So we have some raw land that we could work with as well.
Okay, so we did talk. You guys have rail access,
yes,
which is going to be huge. For those of you guys listening out in podcast land, wherever you are, Pueblo is going, I guarantee you, in the next 1 to 10 years, Pueblo is going to explode just with rail alone. Yes. Rail is huge here. If you really look at where we are situated in the country, we're almost drop dead center of the country, and we've got some of the most rail lines in the whole region to bring everything through. Matter of fact, Pueblo, for those of you guys who don't know, there's over 1 million rail cars that come through Pueblo every single year, which is huge. So you got rail. What about IT infrastructure. Do you have fiber internet out there yet, or have you guys been in talks with anybody to bring that out?
So we do have fiber and internet, but right now we're piggybacking, I guess, off of the chemical depot, and we do have CCOM out there that supports us as well.
Okay, so because just going down through the list, right, of things that if I own my own company, what do I want? In order to entice me away from downtown Boulder or Denver or whatever, or if I'm just starting up a new firm, right? What are the number one thing I need? I need, you know, good pricing on facilities, and I want to be able to make sure I'm well connected, because that's what we're talking, right? DOD, we're talking aerospace, whatever it may be. Every business, as of right now, you can see with COVID, people need that bandwidth. So
absolutely, and our warehouse tenants haven't complained one bit about their speed that they have out there.
Okay, yeah.
We've been able to support our current tenants, and as we kind of expanded, I would say definitely 2016 to present, adding tenants and providing those capabilities to those buildings that they need, voice over or VoIP phones and those kinds of things, so they have those. Nice. Options out there.
Well, cool. So what else you guys offer? I mean, so tell me, kind of walk through some of the building structures you guys have.
So for our warehouses, they were built in the 1950s. They have Douglas fir wood inside over a concrete slab. About 90,000 square foot is the average size. And then they have asbestos tiled siding. But everything has been checked out by the environmental folks, and we are able to lease out.
Oh, so you don't even, they're not even having you do an encapsulation of the asbestos or anything like that, or?
No, at this point it's non-friable. Okay. Because they're just on the outside.
Okay, so no pictures in the walls. No, but so I had to deal with that all the time.
Sure, and I invite everybody to go to our website, and they could take a look at some of our offered facilities.
Well, I'm bringing that up right now. Actually, I have it up.
Sure.
You guys have a nice update there for COVID, which is awesome. And just trying to see some of these facilities. So you already have doors, everything built in.
Right. We'll build a suit, and then we'll negotiate a lease price after that.
Okay. So do you require money down for build out too then? Or
We will. We will ask for a little bit of money down to make sure that the tenant has some skin in the game, if you will.
Okay. Have you, Laura, what are you guys, you said you're in charge of some of these, of getting some of these things rented out. What do you look for in a company? Are you looking for that small business? Are you looking for the big business, all of the above? What are you looking for?
I would say all of the above. We have manufacturing and distribution tenants out there. Some are more small scale, some on a very large scale. One of them producing wind tower components. And so we've seen a lot of interest, of course, with solar expanding, including we've got a tenant that is a distribution point for solar panels out there.
So how about manufacturing? Has anybody produced solar panels or anything like that out there yet? Or
not producing solar panels. They're manufacturing the components, as Laura said, for the wind tower base. So they have raw steel that comes in, and they make the nuts and bolts that secure the stand for the wind tower.
So right now, what year were you thinking that you're going to get the first 5,000 square feet? Or sorry,
5,000
acres.
About 5,000 acres or so. We're hopeful to get that within the next 2 years.
Okay, so at that point, personnel will no longer have to go through the scrutiny of the
so they on base. So sorry to cut you off.
No, that's fine.
So they will still have to go through the security as long as there's the munitions there. And the first parcel of land that we're getting is like in the donut hole of the property, so they will still have to access through DOD security folks.
Okay, so, and the reason why I asked that question, I'm just trying to think outside the box here. Let's say somebody's listening here and wants to set up a manufacturing facility. You know, will you guys help them figure out how to get all the materials on off base, right? You got UPS, FedEx, you got all the stuff that is required when you're manufacturing. You don't need that driver turned away at the gate, right? So,
sure. Understanding that time is money for small businesses and any business, we understand that, but what we offer is one of the best lease rates they're going to find anywhere. They just have to deal with the little nuance of a 5 or 10 minute delay for a driver as they're getting security checked. But
I mean, it's a good thing, right? I mean,
no, absolutely. Very good.
I mean, I've absolutely, like I said, the last 19 years, I've worked on DoD facilities around the world, and yeah, it can be annoying every now and then. But at the same time, you realize that I'm actually in one of the most secure facilities in the world that I don't have to worry about.
Absolutely. And right. After we educated our tenants on what that process is, the companies that they work with for freighting their material are on board now. So everything runs fairly smoothly.
Very much so. And I would say, you know, to speak to the clearance, I wouldn't even call it an issue, but especially our storage tenants, they absolutely love the security that they have. You know, you can have a tenant that is moving across the country for 3 years and they want to store their household goods in a space and they feel comfortable leaving it there. And then they come back in 3 years and pick up where they left off.
So yeah, that is really nice. And Pueblo, we don't get a lot of rain here, so I don't think you have to worry too much about your stuff getting wet.
Correct.
You don't have to worry about all those other environmental things that other people have to worry about. Now, do you have power in all these facilities, or?
We do not, but I always tell everyone, if you open up that 10 by 10 garage door, the sun shines pretty much all the way back to the 60 or 80 square or 80 feet long that they are. And there's also the option to supply power with like a generator while you're out there. So we do have some people that do some business work out there.
Okay. No, that's good. I didn't realize they're that big.
Yeah, about 2,000 square foot.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's not this little... So for those of you guys listening, this is not your typical little storage bin that you would 10 foot by 10 foot.
Oh, no.
This is massive.
It is.
You can fit your house, everything from your house in one of these, pretty much.
Correct.
Absolutely.
And well, most people, I've got three kids.
And a couple cars.
So.
And I know you mentioned you're from North Dakota, and there's a place up there, the name escapes me, but they have these as homes for the doomsday preppers.
Yeah, not saying I believe any of that stuff, but yeah, it's a Minuteman program, right?
It's a thing that
they got rid of. Whether you believe in that or not, you know, it's if you want your family to be secure, that's definitely one way to do it.
Yeah.
Not much absolutely. More secure than that, unless there's a flood and, you know,
sure.
You got a big pool.
Yeah. Our storage igloos, again, around 2,000 square foot and a little over $1,500 a year. So it's very,
time out.
That's why we have a waiting list.
So you're talking 2,000 square feet, $1,500 a year?
Correct.
Not a month?
Yeah. It's, you know, a great commodity. And, you know, we've had so much interest, you know, when we filled up in 2018, there was a lot of commercial warehouse space that was becoming unavailable at that time. It was really getting difficult for people to even find a place to store items, or they were a warehouse owner that wanted to rent their facility out for a really good rate because it was in demand and utilize a storage igloo for their own items. So it's been a really interesting thing and a lot of interest from Northern Colorado.
So, okay. So I'm going to geek out at you guys a little bit here. Because as you guys are talking, I'm thinking, who could possibly use this, right? The first thing that popped in my head is, what about a data center? So obviously it's dry, right? Humidity mm-hmm. probably is not over 50%. It's probably 30% out there in these igloos.
Yep. I think the average temperature when we did that study was about 55 degrees.
55 degrees year round.
So, yeah. So I would, if I were you guys, I'd be calling up some of these bigger companies like... you know, the data centers and say, hey, bring down Netflix, right? Bring your servers down here. Let's run them from here.
Sure.
It's cheap because your air conditioner is not going to run that much because you're already cool. And then, yeah, it's secure. That's huge.
Absolutely.
Yep.
So I will make sure that I'm talking with some of the people that I know to say, hey, have you guys ever, or at least I'll point them to this podcast too and say, hey, listen up, man. All this stuff is right here and nobody knows about it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I encourage everybody to visit publoplex.com and see what we have.
So speaking of visiting publoplex.com, How does somebody get in touch? Well, so you already gave them the website. Sure. You have a LinkedIn page?
Yeah, so Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn.
Okay, so I'm assuming just search for Publiplex.
Yes, very easy to find.
Can people get tours of the place if they're interested in buying from you guys or renting or whatever?
Absolutely. Okay. Just give the office a call.
Yep.
Call 719-947-3770.
Okay. That was pretty quick. Say it one more time.
719-947-3770.
3770. I like the way you say that. You have a face for radio, I'm telling you, Chris. Okay, so what else? Talk to me. What else do you guys want to talk about?
So I want to make sure that we talk about who we all coordinate with. You know, we have the PETCO that we work with. We have the Pueblo County Economic Development folks that we're working with as well. So there's a team here in Pueblo that we work with to make sure that if we can't handle a prospect, that we share them, so we make sure that they stay here in Pueblo. That's one of the big things. We have a very collaborative effort with all those entities.
Okay, well, I know from the smallest perspective, we want to help you guys out, right? That's what we're here to do. We're here to help you network, collaborate, grow, all the above, the tagline. But more than that, we are trying to become that small business ecosystem, the central point of that. So for those of you guys that are listening out there, and for those of you that are subscribed to become members of the Smalls, you know, we talk to them all the time. I had 3 phone calls this week alone from companies out of state wondering, hey, where can we go in Colorado? Where should we go? We want to start doing business there. Maybe want to set up a small office. Those are the types of phone calls that I field every single week. So we need to be handing them off to you guys, give them your guys' number, and say, call these guys up.
Yep.
Absolutely. We support all sectors, private or government sectors, small business, large business, whatever their needs are. We could see if we can accommodate them.
What about, do you guys have any SCIFs out there?
No.
Okay, so no SCIF space currently. I'm not saying that something couldn't be turned into one.
Anything's possible, correct?
That's right. Go ahead. You were going to say something, Laura.
I was just going to say, part of this whole thing is, you know, this is a 100-year project. And so what we're doing today is going to help us in our future. We also have to be prepared for things that are coming in the future that we're not familiar with. So, for example, autonomous vehicles. Somebody may not have had the foresight to see that autonomous vehicles could come to fruition at this point. And we want to be prepared for those types of opportunities for the future of the facility, that we could do something for a group, for something that we have not foreseen.
So have you guys, sorry to cut you off, but have you guys been in talk with any of the local mobile service providers for 5G to say, hey, let's put some towers out here or anything like that?
So we do have a tower already out there with a local vendor, Verizon. I mean, that's who is out there at this time. Okay. They have their tower. And I just want to piggyback on what Laura was just saying. You know, we're working with the Pueblo County Planning Development for our own zoning district because that's going to allow us some flexibility in expedited services to get folks out here once the property's turned over. Until then, we work with the Pueblo Chemical Depot staff to get prospects through all the way through their project into a building. And also our redevelopment plan. You know, we, back in 2014-15, we hired some consultants, and they did a great job of allowing plenty of flexibility in our redevelopment plan, which again, you could find at publiplex.com and take a look at that. We got research development, agriculture, warehousing space, manufacturing space, transloading space. So a lot of flexibility in there because, like Laura said, who knows what's in 50 years, what the new thing will be.
Well, yeah. So, okay. So talk to me about how do I get to you guys? So we kind of started that out. You're east of Pueblo, but kind of walk us through where. So,
okay, so you just head east of Pueblo on Highway 50 for about 13 miles, and there's an exit sign that says Pueblo Chemical Depot, Pueblo Plex, and you just head right on that exit and up the road, and it'll put you right there at security.
Okay, so once you go through security, obviously you have to have a reason. Sure. Don't just show up, people.
Sure.
Exactly. Exactly.
What would happen is if you're a prospect, give the office a call. We'll get coordinated a visitor notification request and submit that to security for the date that you're going to come out. And then at that point, normally one of us will go meet you at the front gate, since it'll be your first time on the property, and then take you to our office and give you a tour from there.
So how much heads up notice do people, how much notice do you guys need? Is it 72 hours? What is it?
If we can get 24 hours is nice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. I've dealt with this, like I said, my entire career. So trying to get on base, if you have anything less than 24 hours, don't even try anymore, just because you more than likely get pushed away, turned away, at least until you do all the proper paperwork. So,
yeah. And we always remind our folks that are coming in, you know, you are coming on to a federal installation. So make sure your weapons are not in your vehicle and any illegal substances.
Correct. So I'll say it right. Just because marijuana is legal in Colorado does not mean you can bring it on a federal installation, because it's not federally legal. So
correct.
And we'll know that.
The irony is that there is a large cannabis farm directly out off the property. So they're a neighbor of ours.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So yeah, just don't do it. Because you want to get detained for a while, don't do it.
And turned around. So
exactly.
Yeah. Well, that's the least of people's worries. If you try to bring something on a federal facility, trust me.
Sure. But we give everybody far enough advance notice, so that way there's no issues when they come on and take a tour of the property.
Well, I know I, for one, am going to schedule myself to get out there, because in my own personal stuff with my work, I need to make sure that there's a couple things I'm working right now that I'd like to come out and take a look to get a tour of the place. So I'll definitely do that for sure.
Perfect. And anybody else that wants to come, we highly recommend it. You can look at it on Google Earth or on our website, but until you're out there, it's just an enormous undertaking what we're getting ready to do here. 23,000 acres is a pretty large amount of property.
Yeah, I always say eyes on the property. It completely changes your perspective, even if you do view photos online and that kind of thing. When you really are on the street level and driving past these buildings and see the enormity of the property and the projects, it's pretty mind-blowing.
So is the Transportation Technology Center, is that part of the property too, or are they separate?
No, that's separate. They're a few miles north of the property.
Yeah, but their line rolls directly through our property, or through the Public Chemical Depot property.
The railroad line.
Mm-hmm. The railroad line, okay. Yeah. Well, that's good to know, for people to know. So if for those companies that might be doing business with them, mm-hmm. right, they have storage right at your guys' facility, so they don't have to go real far.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
What else, guys? Anything else you guys want to talk about? Well, this is your guys' time to shine. Tell us what, you know, everything you want to tell us.
Chris, do you want to talk a little bit about the transloading potential? I think that's a pretty exciting development for us.
So transloading is huge. And again, like I mentioned earlier, there's no spot between Denver and Albuquerque, New Mexico, that can support transloading operations. What we're looking to do, we have blocked off a few hundred acres located in the central of the property that'll be dedicated for transloading operations. It doesn't matter what commodity that needs to be transloaded. We're looking forward to getting that started over the next 2 to 5 years. We're working with BNSF to become a certified, one of their certified sites. And I appreciate BNSF's marketing team, who do send us leads. One of these days, one of them will come to fruition as we continue to work through our transloading possibilities.
Okay, so transloading is really just moving from one place to another, the product, or?
Right, so just depending on how the companies are doing it, the transloading process could either go from freight to train or train to freight. So we could have some that it's railed in, augured into one of the silos, and then a freight truck will come in and pick up the commodity.
Okay, so is there a way to get to you guys from the interstate other than going out on 50? Like there's no back road, frontage road from Springs to you guys, right?
No.
Okay.
There is another route. It goes by the Transportation Technology Center, but that'll put you about 20 to 30 minutes out of your way if you want to go to see Pueblo Plex.
It just, when you guys mentioned from you know, essentially semi-trailers, how to get them out there, I just want to make sure that that's the methodology is to get there is from through Pueblo on Highway 50.
Highway 50, yes.
Okay.
So another thing I wanted to kind of take a step back for just a minute, because I don't think we hit this quite hard enough, but just as far as what the purpose is of Pueblo Plex. So when we were created, it was to redevelop the property, support job creation, and enhance the tax base. And similar examples, I think, that we could look at if people, listeners out there from Northern Colorado, would be Lowry and Fitzsimmons. Those properties are... Those projects were a little bit similar to ours.
Okay, so I don't know if you guys said you guys have the average warehouse is what, 90,000 square feet?
Yes.
How much total square footage do you guys have?
Available to lease out is about 300,000 square foot. We have more than that, but we run into the issue of having to put on a new roof on one of these old buildings, and it becomes cost prohibitive.
Unless somebody else really wants that property, needs that property, right? I'm assuming you guys could
absolutely
work something out,
if
right?
If somebody's willing to spend the money, we'll make it happen.
Right. Well, hey, maybe there's a roofer out there, right, that has some excess material and they just want to store all their material. So maybe, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we'll work with anybody. We'll entertain anybody's ideas.
See what I like that. Do. So that's exactly, you guys are acting like a small business then, right? I mean, that's exactly what you guys are acting like. You make it work.
Right.
Correct.
Figure this thing out.
That's what we do.
Yeah.
Well, cool. So I don't really have any other questions. I do want to take a few minutes, though, just to say thank you, thank you, thank you to Pueblo Plex and everybody out there for helping sponsor the Smallest Gas podcast. I mean, without you guys and your support and other support, we wouldn't have this awesome equipment that we're sitting around right now. So just from the bottom of my heart and the bottom of everybody at the Smallest, we really appreciate it. And just wanted to kind of get that out there for you guys.
We're happy to be a part of it. We really enjoy working with our local partners, economic development relationships, those kinds of things that are going to help everyone.
Absolutely. Nate, thanks for what you're doing to support the small business community here in our region. So if we can make a little bit of a difference, that'll go a long way.
Well, and all we're trying to do, guys, and this is for you guys, and I know you guys already know this, but for anybody else that are listening, that's our goal as the Smalls, is just to help. Even if you're a large, we don't care. All we're here is to do is help. We're trying to be that epicentral point of contact for the small business and that small economic central point. So whether you're manufacturing, whether you're DOD, aerospace, we don't care if you need help. Call us. We'll put you in touch with the right people. Maybe it be Colorado PTAC. It might be, hey, we put you in touch with Pueblo Plex to get a new facility to move your business into someplace that makes more sense, right on rail access, have IT access, fiber. So there's lots of options out there. And for those that want to get in touch with these guys, once again, their website is puebloplex.com. That's PUEBLOPLEX.com. They can be found on LinkedIn, Twitter.
Yep.
Facebook.
Yes.
Instagram.
Not yet.
Aw.
I know.
Sorry, I'm not a millennial, so I've got it on my phone, but I probably open it once every 6 months. So just to see what the kids are doing, right?
Exactly.
But I also want to remind people, even if you guys can't remember that, remember thesmalls.org. And on thesmalls.org, we have your linkages there that'll take you directly to Pueblo Plex's website. So all that information is out there. And I do want to say thank you guys again one more time. And everything you guys are doing great. I know for one, I will be pushing people your way. If people are listening to this, give them a call. And we will listen. I'll be back with you guys again next week for another episode of The Smalls.
Thank you, Nate.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for listening.
You've reached the end of another episode of the Smalls Podcast. Connect with us at thesmalls.org. Don't forget to sign up to our newsletter to receive our free materials. See you soon at the next episode.